It's Morning Edition from NPR News. Good morning. I'm Steve Inskeep. Renee Montaigne is away this week, and I'm delighted that NPR's Deborah Amos is sitting in. Deborah, good morning.
Good morning. We have two scenes this morning from the war on terrorism. We'll report on terror suspects who were caught and one double agent who succeeded.
In a moment, we will hear details about the bomber who killed seven members of the CIA in Afghanistan. First, we're going to look at the large number of recent terrorism cases in the United States.
The FBI filed charges in more than a dozen such cases in the past year. It's a significant increase compared to recent years. NPR's Dina Temple-Raston explains why this seems to be happening now.
Here's an interesting fact. U.S. intelligence officials tell NPR that in the past year, the Obama administration has killed more senior al-Qaeda leaders in drone attacks in the border region between Pakistan and Afghanistan than the Bush administration did in the 3 years before that. A huge number of al-Qaeda's leaders have been killed. Intelligence officials tell NPR they can see how it's affecting the group's ability to communicate, raise money, and plan operations. So the question is, with al-Qaeda under such pressure, why is terrorism on the rise? Intelligence officials say it's because al-Qaeda has asked affiliate groups to launch terror attacks for them. Sam Raskoff is a counterterrorism expert at New York University Law School. He's been tracking how the U.S. drone offensive has forced al-Qaeda to shift its strategy.
What that's done is it's caused the franchise organizations in North Africa, in Yemen, and indeed around the world, to come to the fore and to really represent the most significant threat that al-Qaeda poses today, I think.
Al-Qaeda has been in this position before. Back in 2002, the group was left reeling after the U.S. invaded Afghanistan and drove it from its safe haven there. As al-Qaeda leaders searched for new places to hide, they called on their franchises to attack U.S. targets. That's when extremists in Indonesia bombed hotels in Bali. That phase lasted a couple of years. By 2004, al-Qaeda had found a home in the mountains between Afghanistan and Pakistan. No longer under pressure, al-Qaeda's senior leadership was able to plan more sophisticated attacks, like the ones on London transportation targets in 2005. Now experts say al-Qaeda is going through another phase. This one is much like 2002. Raskoff says the drone attacks have robbed al-Qaeda of a comfortable sanctuary, so it's turned, again, to affiliates. And that's part of the reason why, he says, we're seeing more terrorism cases in the U.S.
The uptick in these smaller type cells that we've been picking up in the States and overseas, I think, is a clear indication that al-Qaeda is pursuing this franchise strategy.
Does it mean al-Qaeda's on the ropes?
Well, the good news is it means that al-Qaeda as a headquarters organization perceives itself to be limited in what it can do. The bad news is, as a franchise, they're actually quite devastating in what they can pull off.
The latest evidence, the Christmas Day airliner attack, which was organized by al-Qaeda's arm in Yemen. Bruce Hoffman, a terrorism expert at Georgetown University, says al-Qaeda has learned from its 2002 experience. Now core al-Qaeda is not just asking affiliates to pick up the slack. It's actually sending some of its most trusted and skilled operatives to these groups to train them.
In essence, is force multipliers to plus up or to strengthen or to enhance the capabilities of its local and regional allies, and thus attempt to overwhelm the United States and its other enemies with, in essence, a strategy that amounts to death by a thousand cuts.
Compounding the problem is the fact that al-Qaeda's brand of extremism is starting to find more traction here in the U.S. In the past, Americans tended to see homegrown terrorism as a European problem. The thinking was that immigrants assimilated in this country so easily, they were unlikely to be swayed by messages of Islamic radicalism. U.S. officials say that isn't true anymore. Just last month, a handful of young men from the Washington, D.C. area went to Pakistan in hopes of training for jihad. More than two dozen Somali Americans have left Minneapolis over the past 2 years to join a terrorist group in Somalia. Hoffman said the U.S. was naive to think that it was immune to al-Qaeda's attempts to recruit new members, whether on the ground or through the internet.
It's a reflection of a conscious strategy on the part of al-Qaeda to use their propaganda, to use the internet and other means of communication in order to gain a toehold in the United States.
Hoffman expects the situation will get worse before it gets better, and counterterrorism officials agree. They said they expect this year to be just as busy for them as last year was. Dina Temple-Raston, NPR News, New York.